Hey guys, what's up? It's A Hero for Epileptics. It has been quite a while since we have done a podcast, and there has been a lot of reasons why. Just between work, Bruno's health, COVID has been very rampant in his family and my family. It's just been taking a toll, especially during the holiday season. We actually didn't end up seeing much family during Thanksgiving or Christmas. There was a couple of weddings in between that people ended up having COVID. Some people got really sick. We lost a couple of really good people, one person on Bruno's side and one person on mine. So it's been a little sad. And we all got COVID pretty much. You know, Bruno had it, I had it. And some of the weird things, Bruno had COVID, and it was interesting because he had a little bit more surge of seizures right before and after, but during his COVID, like the main 3 days when he was having like a spike in fever, which never went past 101, he didn't really have any seizures, so that was very interesting. So as you know, I mentioned Bruno has the RNS device implant in his head. Now, what that does is it tries to stop the seizure before it even occurs. It'll send like an electric current right away to the seizure part of the brain. And so what we do every night is I take the scans that he does for his head. He has a device that he scans and upload it to a computer. And then I use through an Ethernet cable. They don't have it the ability to do it as a wireless, which I'm hoping they will in the future. But for now, the Ethernet's fine. You know, I have to kind of plug it into our Fios tower, the Wi-Fi tower, and I upload it. We went over with the doctor on Wednesday through a telehealth call because even he is working from home as well as the staff. So all the nurses, whoever can be, and assistants and things like that are all working from home, which makes sense. So we couldn't go to the office. And in the office is only where they can adjust a device in his head. Let's say they want to increase a frequency or some, you know, electric current. We can only do that in the office. So that was a little bit different. So we did the telehealth and we went over the analysis from his brain. And my question was, how come during his COVID, we didn't really see too many seizures? I'm like, what is it showing on the actual data? Because I can't see the data. I can only upload and know that it went through, but I can't like see any charts or graphs or things like that. Which I would probably get lost in anyway. I do it for work when I'm analyzing, you know, let's say ads or how our website's doing and things like that. So from a digital perspective, so, you know, I would probably get lost looking through it and probably not understanding some of the of what I'm seeing aside from what the graph is showing, but I won't really know what I'm looking at to the degree of knowing what's happening when we talk to the doctor. So we did look at the charts and they showed that there was a decrease in seizures during the time he had COVID, which was very interesting. So he had Omicron, which I also then got like a few days later after I got the booster. So I was double sick from the booster making me sick and from COVID. But back to Bruno, we then asked the doctor, was there other epileptic patients, you know, people with epilepsy that are underneath Dr. Kosnicki that also showed similar results with COVID? And he said, yes, there was quite a few other people. So we're going to wait to hear back on some analysis because I think that would be really cool and interesting to get a better understanding of what could have happened and what's in COVID that is there something that can be extracted from this Omicron that could help people with epilepsy and other disorders and, you know, diseases and things like that. Now, his dad also, who has type 2 diabetes, said that his diabetes were better during the time he had COVID. His father actually had Delta like a month before we had Omicron. So he said his diabetes were feeling better, like his blood sugar level was low. Excuse me. So one thing we can also tie to that is the fact that he obviously wasn't drinking wine or eating bread because he really didn't have an appetite when you had COVID. So as I was saying, my father-in-law does have He did have COVID as well, and he said his diabetes was a little bit better, which is also very good. But he was also staying away from certain things he really shouldn't be eating that he does. You know, being Italian, you know, he does sneak in that wine or bread, or, you know, sometimes that stuff has all kinds of sugar in it, so it affects his glucose level. So we, you know, that was down during COVID because you really don't have an appetite. So I think it would be interesting to find out when Bruno's neurologist does get some more data together that's more statistical, that we can actually see, is there something that can be taken away from, you know, someone with epilepsy having COVID or any other neurological disorders? Is there something there that we can use to help him and other people? So it's good. I'm glad he has a device in his head, because we do scan every day, and that really does help with what we have going on. Otherwise, he's been doing okay. You know, he still has a few seizures a day. Lately, you know, one of his triggers is if he watches too much TV, let's say, or is on his phone too much, he might have like a falling seizure. So for the last week, the days that he watched, let's say he was watching the news and then he started watching this like car show that they have every year out in, you know, Arizona. If he starts watching that all day, then I've noticed that at night, if he's in the bathroom, and I've been trying not to go in there, you know, with him or check on him so he has some privacy when he's using the restroom. Otherwise, I'm in there, you know, sitting there, just making sure he's safe. And the only time I'm really in there with him is if A, I hear him having a problem and I go in, or B, he is showering and I set up the shower so it's safe with all his special mats and everything to sit on. And then I stay in there just in case, because, you know, there's glass, there's water, there's soap, there's all kinds of things he can get hurt on. And he literally showers for like 3 minutes, you know, shampoo, body wash, done. You know, he's not like, you know, me. I feel like I'm, you know, get a shave, exfoliate again. You know, it takes like a good 10-15 minutes just to, you know, get everything done. But for him, he's like 1-2-3, and I feel like guys are like that for the most part. They're very quick, and he's pretty quick. Unless he has a seizure in the shower, at least he's already sitting, then it might take him like an extra couple of minutes in the bathroom. But other, you know, usually he's pretty good. So, you know, the last couple of nights, not in a row, but the days that he was watching more TV, let's say he was on his phone checking the stock market, which is also its own mess, he has had a seizure where he would fall sideways off the chair, smack right into the wooden door, and I would be like, what's happening? So he does smack his face into like the tile floor. He didn't really get hurt. He had a little bump on his face the other day, and then last night he had one too. Now, if you also hear my voice, I'm not as clear as I usually am. I'm still a little stuffy, and I do have myself, and he does too, we still have some post-COVID, you know, things going on, like where sometimes I feel like extra tired or fatigued, or like I just have a random runny nose, so I'm always wiping my nose. And then sometimes I sneeze, but it's like a really dry sneeze, so it just hurts. It's not like, you know, anything, you know, it's not like a normal sneeze. So I'm like, this probably is still some post-COVID. And then he has like every now and again has some stomach things and this and that. I told him, like, you know, we probably have some long-term COVID symptoms going on, which is, I think a lot of people have that same issue. So it's not too out of the ordinary, so I don't want to worry about it too much. But for him, we're going to see about the doctor in March. Now, that might be an in-person visit, that might be a telehealth, and I would like to talk to the doctor about how, if we're not adjusting the device in his head, I would like it to be a telehealth, so this way the doctor doesn't have to run to the office, I don't have to worry about, between work and everything like that, rushing around town, and I think that would be really ideal for the both of us. You know, but if they are going to do something with his, with a device, you know, we have to be in person, the representative comes in, they have a special computer that they hook up to him that we don't have access to certain things, and they can then, you know, set up the increases. So if that is the case, then we're okay with that. But if not, if it's just a regular appointment, I'd rather just do it from the telehealth so I don't have to rush. Because, you know, also with going, you know, I don't know when I'm going to be going back to the city a little bit. Hopefully it's after the winter clears up and, you know, Omicron and whatever other variant, hopefully we don't have another variant, is like calm down and things are starting to pick up in the city. And it's not even just COVID for like New York City. There's also been an uptick in like certain violence on the train. There's like, I've heard issues about the trains not being as clean. I mean, the subway was never like super clean, but like, you know, if it's that much worse now, I couldn't even imagine. And I don't even have to take the subway right now at my job. I could take it from one train station to another, but I don't have to. I'd rather walk. Even if it's cold, I like that brisk walk feeling and like just being outside. And I try to, you know, I walk pretty quickly, you know, always keep my bag safe. I never didn't. And yeah, you just have to, there's a certain attention span you have to have when you are working in the city. So it'll be interesting. You know, I did it, I went a couple of days in the summer before, you know, the variant started picking up. So hopefully we will see what happens. And when that starts kicking in, we already have a person for Bruno. Like, we have a couple of nurses and caregivers that we set up that we can have come to stay here for, you know, 4 hours of the day, which is like the majority of the day that I'm gone for work. And then when I come back, you know, Bruno's pretty much sleeping by then anyway. That's usually his nap time. So I think, you know, his, not his nap time, but like the time he usually rests. Because, you know, between his medications and, you know, his brain is in overdrive and he just gets tired more frequently than, let's say, like someone like myself. So we'll go from there. And then the other thing, like right now he's resting, he doesn't have the TV on. I was like, you know, try to break up your day more where you're watch TV for part of the day, rest, watch TV a little bit more, or read a book, or do something else, like fill your day with a bunch of different activities. So if he does that, his brain is actually a little bit calmer and it less likely he'll have like a falling seizure, which those are the scariest seizures because he's not a small guy. You know, he's a big guy. He's close to 6 feet tall. You know, he's over 200 pounds. So it's like big. And I'm, you know, I'm like at least 50 pounds under him and also like 5 inches or so shorter. So, you know, it's a lot to grab him or move him and things like that. And then also if he goes down, it's like dead weight. So if you've ever tried to move someone that's like passed out or, you know, sleeping or something, it's for some reason they weigh like 100 and something more pounds. It feels like double the amount of weight because they're just like a big lump. So, you know, it makes our lives easier if we can avoid some of the triggers of his epilepsy and then just work on making sure that we pay attention to those said triggers. And I think that is really something we're paying attention to. So once I see him going off the trail, off the tracks a little bit, I could tell right away that I'm like, okay, you watch too much TV. You know, you were doing so-and-so. You're on your phone too much. Like, I can see that you triggered yourself for later on when you're like super tired. So we have to, you know, keep an eye on that and just make sure we're diligent about it. And everyone else too, with a medical condition, you have to be very diligent with how you're taking care of yourself and what you're doing. And I think those are the key. So we're looking forward to this year. Hopefully, I mean, this is like the second year that we're in. No, this is the third year we're in, pretty much in COVID. It started happening in the beginning of 2020, and then things were pretty much shut down in March. I've been working from home for most of that time since March 2020. We were supposed to go back to the office 2 weeks after it shut down, you know, thinking everything was going to be cool, good to go. And then we gave up our WeWork space like, you know, months later because it was expensive. And then WeWork has its own issues with like they were opening up too many locations and there was just like a lot of negative assets that they were building on top of, so it was just a mess. So we didn't need that office space anymore. And then, you know, been working from home, and then I started this new job about 7 months ago, and it's been pretty much working from home. And we'll see what happens. We have like a new deal coming up, so I know, think some people would like to get back in the city to like do more face-to-face meetings, which would which makes life easier, so you can do a quick meeting and then move on and things like that. But that also depends on how the trains are running. They've still been on an off-peak schedule and things like that. So I'm looking into all that and waiting to see what the next steps might be. And I think it'll be a slow process. I don't think we're rushing or anything after all this. And a lot of people are still getting COVID as well in schools and offices. And I know, like, our family, like I said, have both been hit with COVID, and there's still people getting COVID, like, off and on both sides of our family. So we're just, trying to play it cool and see whoever we can that's safe for us right now. Like, I haven't seen my brother-in-law, really, because of work schedules and other factors. So we still have Christmas presents for, like, our nephew. And then I haven't seen my little sister, who's not really, I mean, she's not little, but to me, she's always going to be little. She's closer to 40 than she's closer to 30, but she's still my younger, little sister. We have some gifts for her as well, and I have some other things that I usually give her. Like, when we get something different in the house, I usually ask her, oh, hey, do you need this? Do you want this? It's like, still, we keep everything pretty new, even if we've had it for years. So she's always like, yeah, I'll take it. And then sometimes I change stuff, because since we moved, we're still swapping things out and upgrading things or changing it to something else we want, that we need more. So I see if she needs stuff for her house, because she has like a whole house and she can store things, and we don't have a house. We have pretty good storage, but we can't, like, it's going to be too much clutter if we keep too many things. So, I would like to, make sure that we keep getting rid of stuff. And it keeps it clear too for Bruno, because if he has to, like, if he wants to, like, lay down somewhere, or if he does fall or something, he has room in which to, like, spread out, and I can grab him easier. So, yeah, so those are just some of the things that we're waiting to go on. And now, between the weather, we don't know if it's going to snow, not snow. So we're just playing it by ear. I think we're just trying to see what the day will bring and not really stress about it, because there's nothing really to stress about. You can't do anything about it. So we'll just see what's going to happen. And like I said, I'll be back doing podcasts, trying to do them more frequently. So this way I'm back on top of it. So yes, I look forward to filling you in on more, hopefully, positive news, and especially with Bruno's seizures, and hopefully more, we can pick up more activity that we started doing with the Hero for Epileptics that kind of got stopped once COVID hit. And, we didn't really want to ask people too much for donations, and, we couldn't really do where we went and, like, sold items at, like, holiday fairs to raise money for the charity because of COVID. So, hopefully some of that stuff will pick up again this year, and that'll be fun, because those were fun things to do when you kind of meet people and you make connections. And I think that's very important, and it's good for Bruno. He gets out there, he talks about epilepsy, he talks about seizures, he spreads the word about what's happening. So I think that's very important for him, because he is raising awareness, and we're both raising awareness, but it's really being face to face with people is, like, it's missing. And working from home, you're home, you're not, like, out, you're not seeing anybody as much. It's, like, different. You can get stuff done, all the work gets done, but it's still there's a part that's missing, like that interaction kind of lifestyle. And even for Bruno, even if he has, like, a healthcare person coming or someone he's interacting with aside from, like, me, and we're fine together, but also you need, like, that extra, to be around our friends more and family and, coworkers and things like that. So yeah, so sounds good. And we will keep you posted. And also, Bruno will probably be on a couple of the podcasts in the future, so we can, talk about what's been going on with him. And then also I can ask him questions and things like that. We never got a chance to do that because other things kind of took over. And then he had days where, if he doesn't really feel like it, not feel like it, but he is not feeling good that day, or he's very tired, he's more likely not to be able to talk for a long period of time compared to, like, me, who can go on and on for hours without breathing and never shut up, which is partly New York, partly the way my brain functions. So, we're happy to be back on with the podcast, so I'm going to make sure I set myself up with a schedule, because at least it feels like normal to be doing this. So I hope you enjoy following us, and again, always thank you for taking the time to follow us, like us, and just listen to what we have to say, because we do want people to be aware of neurological disorders, epilepsy especially, but there's plenty of other disorders that tie together that we need to see what we can do to help these people, maybe not find a cure, but find better ways to live so they do have, better peace of mind, and also, a better life that's, filled with the ability to do more, or to just feel more fulfilled, and to just have a better quality of life. So that's really the key. So, that's what we're looking for too, the best quality of life that Bruno can have. That's what we want for him and for anyone else who has similar issues or epilepsy with something else, just so that people can, find their way and do well and be able to do as many things as they want in life so they can enjoy it and feel like they've accomplished something. So yes, thank you very much. Epilepsy affects many people. Worldwide, there are estimated to be 50 million people with epilepsy. Within the United States, an estimated 150,000 people are newly diagnosed every year. The onset of epilepsy is related to age, with the very young and the very old being most affected. To learn more, go to aheroforepileptics.org.